Hello again, Steve Elzinger here, and this is the coaching class. And in this session, I want to talk about how to motivate your client. Now, in some ways, again, you're not trying to make things happen. You're trying to help your client make things happen. So it's sort of an indirect motivation. You want the client ultimately to figure out how he or she can motivate themselves. But helping the client understand what motivates them is your way to motivate them. So how do you do that? All right, top motivators. Number one, goals. Having a goal is probably the top motivator. That's why in the initial session, or with every session, the goal is to come up with a goal. What is your client going to do? Especially a short-term goal, or, you know, maybe you have this big goal of wanting to be a better parent or a better marriage partner or a better preacher, whatever it might be. It's a long-term goal, but we need to break it down into weekly goals. What are you going to do this week? A very specific goal, a goal that can be measured, a goal that you know, the client can know whether he did it or he didn't do it, and he can understand how well he did it. Having a goal, like my goal today is to finish this course and get all the classes done, and because of that, it motivated me to do certain things over the weekend. So number one is goal. Number two is reward. We often don't think about reward, especially when we come up with our own goals, because we would have to come up with our own rewards. But in real life, even in school, we have our kids, they study, and they need to do papers, and they do quizzes, and so on. And the reward that we throw out in front of them is a grade. Now, the problem with that reward is a lot of kids don't care what the grade is, and only those that care about the reward will actually work hard. So sometimes, you know, one reward works for some and not for others. You work somewhere, perhaps, and they reward you with money. And the money that you get is an indication of what your boss, what your company thinks about you. That's your reward. In the sports world, there's trophies and medals. I play a game called pickleball. If you don't know what it is, just Google it. And we have a tournament this week. And what's at stake is little medals. They put you can get a gold or a silver or a bronze. A couple weeks ago, I was in a tournament and I got a bronze and a gold. And then the week before that, I got a silver. So I got one of each. This week, I don't know what's going to happen. Will I get anything? I don't know. It's going to be a tough competition. The best players in the world are coming. But that little bit of a reward is I mean, no one really, you know, when you finally win and they put the medal on your neck, no one really cares about that medal. You go home and you put it somewhere and you get a stack of them. It doesn't, the medal itself doesn't mean anything. It's just that it's the recognition system. It's the system that says you did a good job. And our world is filled with little systems that let people know that they're doing a good job. So your client too. Help your client figure out what kind of reward. Is it just a pat on the back? Is it money? Is it honor? Is it a title? Is it recognition? What exactly motivates your client in terms of reward? I mean, even in the Bible, if we follow Christ, we get the reward of eternal life. We human beings are motivated by reward. Often when you bring up the subject, people say, well, no, I don't need anything. I don't do that for a reward. Well, maybe we're thinking about it wrong. We do things because of some sort of recognition. The recognition system lets us know that we're on the right track. So what recognition system does your client need to get motivated, to let him know that he's on the right track and that he's making progress? Number three, negative consequences. You touch a hot stove, you don't touch it again. You do something at work and it ends in total failure and you don't get paid, you stop doing that. negative consequences work. In school, we give grades, and we you know, there's A is really good, B is sort of average, C is, well, and then D, and then E, and then F, okay? That's painful. Those are negative consequences. No one wants an F. And so you want to avoid the pain. And sometimes that's what we need. We are motivated by, people talk about a carrot or a stick. I think they're thinking about a horse. Horses like carrots. So sometimes you give the horse a carrot. It encourages them. Yeah, you're doing the right thing. And sometimes the horse needs a stick to get going. And as human beings, we do too. We need positive consequences, but we're also motivated to avoid negative consequences. So when your client is coming up with a goal or something that he or she wants to do, you might ask, well, what kind of reward would you want to throw on that? If you accomplish it, what is your reward? If you don't, what is the negative consequence of you not pursuing and following through with what you said you were going to do? Because people can make up, you know, I mean, as a coach, you're trying to have them come up with goals, things that they're going to accomplish before you meet again. But how are they going to end up doing it? You are not going to follow them around all week long to make sure that they do it. They have to do it on their own. And so what's going to drive them? See, that's what the motivation is all about. Discovery. Some people are motivated by a sense of discovery. I remember a missionary went to Hong Kong. I was in the Philippines. He was in the Philippines, and he went to Hong Kong for a week. And he took a boat. He went to some island. He took some bus, and he ended up at some monastery. And they fed him, and he thought it was just the coolest thing. And he told me all about it. So when my wife and I, we had 4 days, and so we went to Hong Kong, we decided to do that trip. We found the boat, it was a 2-hour boat ride, got on the bus, we went to the monastery, looked around, had lunch, came back, and I remember thinking, well, this was no big deal at all. And it wasn't a big deal because I didn't discover it. He discovered it. He didn't know what he was doing. He got on a boat. The boat went somewhere. He got on a bus. He ended up at a monastery. It was a whole adventure for him. For me, it was just following the instructions that someone else gave. It wasn't that motivating. People are motivated by discovery. So as a coach, you don't want to tell your client, you know, what's going to happen. You don't want to tell them, you know, if you work hard at this, this is what's going to happen. Or you tell some long story about someone else that you've helped in a similar situation. And so you're telling the client, and you can do it too. I mean, the goal is, I mean, you're trying to be helpful and motivating and reassuring, but you're taking the discovery process away from your client. See, you don't show them what's going to happen. And then when your client figures out something and he succeeds at something and he's surprised by something, see, that is going to motivate him to keep working hard. Sense of discovery. Number 5, a lot of people are motivated by potential. They have to see the potential of something. If I do this, then this may change things. If I accomplish this one thing in my marriage, it may make my marriage way better than it is right now. Or if I do this, if I take this one course, you know, so the client is figuring out he wants to take a course because he wants to get into some, maybe he wants to become a coach. And if he can see the potential, if he can, you know, help him try to understand the potential of what he's doing, then he might get more motivated. That's a problem with school. You know, kids take school classes, and you know, they're studying history, they're studying English, and they have no idea what the potential is. How does this translate into anything in my life? Because they have a long wait before they actually apply what they're learning at the time. And a client can feel that way too. He's going through the motions, all the things that, you know, all the obligations that are upon him and all the demands that people have. But what's the potential in all of that? Number 6, success. There's nothing like success that can motivate. If you don't have a little successes along the way, then it's hard to keep going at something. That's why it's so important when your client figures out a goal, something that he wants to change about his life or go to the next level in his life, that you need to break that ultimate goal into smaller segments. Just to become a better husband is way out there. What do I need to do this week to start making that happen? What do I need to do next week? And if I can experience little things this week and next week, then I'm motivated to keep going in that direction. And eventually, I will arrive at my big goal. You're taking classes at Christian Leaders Institute. Maybe you want to be a pastor. Maybe you want to be a church planner. Maybe you want to do a ministry on the side. You have a business, but you have some free time. You want to do ministry on the side, and you have this vision for something. Well, you need these little baby steps. Taking a class and actually getting through it and getting a pretty good grade. It's like, yeah, maybe you can do this. It's taking a small step and seeing a little success along the way. Most people need that in order to keep going towards a bigger goal. Number 7, change. If we're working on something and we don't see any changes, it's hard to keep working at it. In a sport, if you practice and practice and practice, and then you go and you play in a tournament and you don't do any better than you did before, it's hard to keep working hard at something. So try to help your client experience some small changes. Help him recognize that change is happening. Sometimes we don't always see the changes. Number 8, fun. People are motivated by fun. Allow your client to try some things that are just fun. Or even ask the question, are you having any fun? With all the things that you want to do in your life, are you having any fun? Where does fun fit into your life? Number 9, connections. We are social beings. We have a God who is social, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God created us in His image, male and female. There's always this group. We're always part of each other. Romans 12, verse 5, we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. That motivates. Now, some are extroverts. They like a lot of people around all the time. Some are introverts. They don't like a lot of people around all the time. But we all need people in our life. We all get motivated by connections. You meet a person, you hit it off, you talk about things, you laugh, you share deep things, and it's like, you know, you didn't have that relationship before and now you do. And that makes life more interesting. So how do you use connections to motivate? Number 10, what are the top motivators? One's own ideas. That's why coaching is so powerful. Because you, as the coach, are not giving your client the idea. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not suggesting what you should do. I'm trying to help you figure out what you want to do. And once the client figures out what they want to do, they're more motivated. They're more motivated to do the thing that they came up with than what someone tells them to do. Number 11, ownership. That's capitalism. When someone owns something, they take care of it. If you have children, you know that that's true. If you let your kids use your stuff, they don't take care of it. But if your kid has to work for it and buy it and he owns it, he takes care of it. It's the same thing in the coaching experience. The more you let the client own what he's doing, the more he follows through. And when he fails, if he fails, it's not your problem. It's not the coach's problem. It's not the coach's fault. The client has to take ownership for the goal. The client has to take ownership for the attempts, the accomplishments, and for the failures. Number 12, applause. We like to be encouraged. We like to do things and have people recognize that we've done them. Otherwise, we feel like we're all alone. A housewife working hard at the house, but no one cares. No one says thank you. No one notices. It's hard.
You're at work. A lot of people are working hard at whatever work they do. And a lot of times the leadership at the company doesn't recognize what people do. And when people don't feel recognized, they stop being motivated. Number 13, encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. In fact, everyone's short on encouragement. The reason why we don't receive encouragement is because everyone is short on encouragement. So everyone's looking to be encouraged, but no one does the encouraging. So we need to start creating a culture of encouragement. And so as a coach, that's what you can do. Encourage your client. Because he's going to make goals, and then he's going to fail, or he's going to, he didn't get to it. There'll be excuses. And how are you going to motivate them? You can't just, point out all the problems. You have to encourage along the way. Hey, you can do it. Hey, good try. Maybe you can complete it this week. Everyone needs encouragement. Okay, top short-lived motivators. Okay. And this is good, not just in coaching, it's good in any relationship. Motivation is how everything happens in life. Marriage, family, church, business, it doesn't matter what it is. We're always trying to motivate one another to do things and try to motivate ourselves. Top short-lived motivators, fear. A lot of people use fear. A lot of bosses will use fear. If you don't do this, this bad thing is going to happen to you. Will do things because of fear, but they'll only do those things as long as the fear is there. As long as, there's a boss standing over there saying some bad consequences are coming if you don't do this. The minute the boss is out of the room, you stop working. Authority. Everyone wants more authority. I have these people under me, but I need the authority. They don't listen to me. Well, they don't listen to you because they don't believe in you, or they can't see your vision. Or you haven't been encouraging enough. But we think if we could just tell people what to do. And so as a counselor, a lot of times, we have the authority. We're the counselor. Or I'm the pastor. So I meet with someone. They have problems. And by my authority, I say, this is what you should do. And you should listen to me because I am the authority. I have a title. But people ultimately don't follow titles. They don't ultimately listen to titles. That's a short-term motivator, short-lived motivator. Money. Studies have been done. People don't work hard for money. Maybe initially, but money is not what people want. It's a sense of purpose. It's a sense of making things happen, of contributing, being part of something bigger than themselves. Titles. They've done studies on this too. Titles. We give people titles. You're the vice president of this in the company. Or you're a pastor. Or the associate pastor. Or you're the... people follow you because you make a difference in their life. It doesn't matter what your title is. Here at Christian Leaders Institute, I work here, but I don't even have a title. It doesn't matter what my title is. Who am I helping? What am I doing? Demands. You can demand things. A lot of parents, this is how they motivate. They demand. You must do this. And again, people will only do it as long as you're standing there making sure it happens. The minute you're not there, it doesn't happen. So again, as a coach, you don't demand things. You don't, say to the client, look, I'm the coach, you're the client, so I'm the one who knows stuff. You should do what I say. No. Authority, fear, you don't use any of those things. Commands, do this. Expectations. As a coach, and it's real easy to do as a coach, you start having expectations. Your client has said some things that they want to do. You agree this would be a good thing to do. And now there's this expectation. Your client comes in and he's changing his mind or he didn't follow through. And then you subtly, let him know that, look, I have certain expectations of you and you're failing in those expectations. I'm disappointed in you. You're just trying to help the client figure out what he wants to do. It's not your job to judge them or to have these expectations. It's your client's job to figure out why he's not motivated, why he's not following through what he's doing. And you're there to help him do that. Motivators by personality types. Okay, some people are curiosity motivated. I'm one of those. I'm curious about everything. The desire for knowledge and experience. That's what drives me. So if you're a coach, you might help me, you know, come up with goals that are more down this direction. Curiosity is what, you know, can motivate me. So, you know, help me go down that trail. Others are motivated by acceptance, the desire for inclusion. They like to be a part of things. They like people to like them. And that's what drives them. And, you know, now I'm not that way at all. I'm like, no, you shouldn't live your life that way. Who cares what people think? You got to do what's right. You got to follow through with a vision. Okay, so, but that's me. That's my personality. That's what drives me. And you know, I don't care what people think. I'm going to follow through with this. But others are driven by relationships. They don't have grand visions for making things happen. They have grand visions for people connecting. Order, the desire for organization. I don't have that at all. My wife does. She was raised in a family where, you know, things were put in order. The first time I met my father-in-law in Washington State, they lived on a farm, and I met him. I was already engaged to his daughter. He's never met me, never seen me. And the first day that I'm there, he sends me out to the backyard to dig up their septic system. Gave me a shovel and, you know, a place to put it. And I spent all day cleaning out his septic system. And I had rubber boots that he gave me. And when I was done, I washed the rubber boots off and I put them at the back door. And when he walked by, he saw the rubber boots. He didn't say, hey, thanks for spending all day cleaning out our septic system. He said, we don't put our boots there. We put them over here. And that was it. That family's interested in organization. I was raised in a family that was interested in accomplishment. It's what you accomplish. It's not the organization of things. It's not where the tools are put and all those things. Those are unimportant. My dad, he felt like, you know, I don't have to put screwdrivers and tools away. I can afford to buy new ones every year. Because he was driven by accomplishment, not keeping things neat and tidy. Well, people are different. So what is your client like? What drives them? Don't let your view of how things go influence how your client should think about how things should go. Physical activity, the desire for the exercise of muscles, and people want to be out there doing things. They don't want to sit at a desk. Some people like sitting at a desk. Some people don't. Honor, the desire to be loyal to one's parents and heritage. Power, the desire to influence others. That's what drives people. They want to make a difference in the lives of people around them. Independence, the desire for self-reliance. Some are interdependent. Some are more self-dependent. Social contact, the desire for companionship. Some are extroverts. People around them motivate them. And so as your client is trying to figure out what they want to do and their goals, then pursuing, you know, involvement with other people, teams of people trying to make things happen. Introverts want to figure it out on their own. You let your client be who they are. Family, the desire to raise one's own children. Status, the desire for social standing. For some people, that's important. Idealism, the desire for social justice. Vengeance, the desire to get even. Romance, the desire for intimate sensuality and sexuality. Eating, the desire. Some people are foodies, I call them. They love food, and everything is driven by food. And where, you know, this city and this town has this food, and we have to eat here. And it's all about food and connecting to people. That's what drives them. Saving, the desire to collect things. Tranquility, the desire for emotional calm. So, what's my point? My point is that it's not just coming up with goals and figuring out a plan and then managing that plan and helping them succeed. Behind all of it is motivation. And the more you know about what motivates your client, the more you can help your client think about how he can use the things that motivate so that he can actually succeed. And we'll see you again next time.